In a world drowning in right-wing propaganda,
Fox News Channel, we report, you decide.
One man stands against the tide.
You shall not pass!
Using the truth as his weapon.
This is my boomstick!
And a pathological disregard for being polite.
You can't stop him! That's what he does! That's all he does!
He is the filthy liberal scum.
And welcome back to the horror that is the Filthy Liberal Scum podcast. I am your host, the Filthy Liberal Scum, and I will no longer be speaking like a vampire. With me are my co-hosts, the fat smug bastard, Glenn Dewar.
Hey there.
Sent back in time to stop Jeb Bush from being elected in 2016, and the Mike Murphy, sent from a parallel universe where conservatives stopped using social wedge issues in the 80s, and Murphy misses his liberal utopia. Anyway, we have an awesome show tonight. We're going to be discussing the what I call the mini Booker controversy, but Glenn calls a huge cluster floof. We're going to be discussing the GOP's new concept that everything that they do wrong is somehow Obama's fault, which I haven't quite figured out yet. The fact that black people apparently preferred white supremacy and slavery. A men's group is complaining that the Violence Against Women Act is leaving out the other 50% of the victims in this country, which would be men. We're also going to be discussing a lovely pastor in North Carolina who thinks that shoving gays into concentration camps is an awesome idea. And if we have time, we're going to be discussing Congress wants to start using military propaganda on the United States. And if we have a lot of time, I want to discuss 1906 San Francisco being a libertarian utopia. Not a liberal utopia, but a libertarian utopia. But I don't think we're going to get to that. So anyway, we'll start off with the mini Booker controversy.
We do have to talk for a second about the monkey.
The monkey?
The monkey.
Which monkey?
Murphy and I are having a dispute that we need you to resolve.
Uh-oh.
So apparently, I don't know if you saw the Colbert Report all this week?
No.
Okay, so apparently there was this monkey in the zoo.
A baby monkey.
And somebody threw a kid threw a large nut at the monkey, and the monkey tried to eat it. And apparently the nut was too large, and so the nut got stuck in its digestive system. Now at this point, there is no controversy as to what has happened.
Mm-hmm.
However, it was necessary for whoever is in charge of curing the monkey. This man basically had to lick the monkey's sphincter, I guess you would say, for 1 hour to stimulate it properly.
Well, it took him an hour. Yeah, apparently, using a cloth or a sponge wasn't enough.
Murphy thinks that this could have been done with a cloth or a sponge, and that the guy... Well, you say it. What do you think?
I think the guy was a freak, personally, that he figured that the only way we can get this monkey to, like, digest this peanut would be to lick its ass until the monkey, like, I guess, defecates into his mouth or something.
Ew! And Murphy thinks that this man is some kind of a freak. I think this man made
a
sacrifice.
Maybe a little too dedicated.
Well, first of all, the news agreed with me that they felt that this was just, the man had an amazing dedication to the monkey, that there was nothing else he could do. He had to lick this monkey's bunghole.
And it wouldn't surprise me if all the other, caretakers at the zoo had their cell phones out filming this debacle as it unfolded.
No, none of the other caretakers objected, I assume, because this man was sitting there for an hour licking the monkey.
Is this your way of telling me that you don't want to do co-hosts anymore and I should look for other people? Because this is a really roundabout way of doing it.
I just wanted to know what
you're talking about. All right, quick freak or not?
I don't know. I'm going to have to go with freak because imagine
yes!
That wasn't another way for him to do
it. I told Murphy that if the monkey was cute enough and the monkey's life depended on it, I bet Murphy would do it.
Oh, I'm sorry. No.
There's no other way?
No other way.
There's no other way.
No other way. I'm sorry.
I will not be eating peanuts tonight. Anyway.
You know you're going to look up that video on the internet.
No. Oh, no. I'm really not. Yes. And he let people videotape him doing this?
We did see a clip of it.
We did see a photograph of the monkey in question. But
was it just a photograph?
We saw
a photograph with him attached to the monkey.
I must have missed that part. Okay.
Oh, darn. Can we move on now?
All right, sorry.
we had to solve that problem.
On the car ride over here, we had to talk about this.
Can't you discuss something normal? Like, who would win a fight for the Hulk? Just go for something normal.
I think this was far more controversial.
Oh, my God. All right.
So, Booker, controversy. Glenn, what happened?
You want my opinion on it?
No, I want to know what the controversy was, because I didn't catch it.
The controversy was that Cory Booker went on Meet the Press, and he's saying, I am an Obama surrogate. I mean, like, first of all, when you're a surrogate, you don't say, I'm a surrogate. I have been programmed by my dark masters to say these things. But he actually, you know, he goes on, he says he's a surrogate, and then he completely and totally trashes the Obama campaign message on Mitt Romney. And he equates it, Justin and I love false equivalencies.
Yay!
He equates the attacks on Bain Capital to bringing, Jeremiah Wright back into things. So he says attacking Mitt Romney's record on Bain is exactly equal to bringing up Jeremiah Wright, and that they are both nauseating.
Yeah, he steps completely all over Obama's message about Bain Capital that somehow it nauseates him. And he actually used rather strong...
More than once, nauseates.
Language. I suspect he was trying to portray himself as being somehow above the partisan fray by saying, oh, both sides are wrong, so both sides are
I can understand same. Him wanting to do that, but at the same time, that's not even remotely equivalent. Bain Capital speaks directly to how Mitt Romney... I mean, Mitt Romney... bases his entire campaign on the fact that he's an awesome, awesome private entrepreneur, and he's a capitalist, and blah, blah, blah. And what he did in Bain Capital is a direct reflection of what he plans on doing with the country.
Well, you know, Obama has a central key part of his platform is that he shows you exactly how many times he went to a sermon by Jeremiah Wright.
Of course. Oh, wait, no, he doesn't. you made that up.
That's right.
You made that up. Yeah, that's right. My God. You're a Republican.
Yeah.
Or Andrew Breitbart's been possessing you.
Yeah.
So, but going back to Bain Capital, basically Bain Capital exists to make money. They're venture capitalists. They take over companies. They might either A, help the company out and hire people.
Or pillage and rape, which is great.
And if they make money, great. Or they can take over a company, lay off tons of people, still make tons of money, still great. I mean, they win either way. So,
well, it's great for them. It's not great for the company. The company gets stuck with all the debt. It's horrible for the workers.
I mean, back in the 80s, there was a term back in the 80s called corporate raiders. And these guys were very much...
Monty Python had the best short for that ever.
I was just about to say that.
That was the best short ever. Oh, my God. What movie was that from? Was it Meaning of Life?
It might have been. I do recall that sketch where they're... Basically, these guys are like pirates, and you see like an office building, and you see like a pirate flag rise above the building.
Sales and everything. Unbelievable.
And file cabinets being used for cannons and all that stuff, and guys in ropes and suits, you know, swinging through windows and taking over companies. And that's basically what a venture capitalist was. Obviously, the Monty Python was an exaggeration, but they basically took over companies. This was a term called hostile takeovers. People might recall from the 80s that a company can be acquired, again, against its will because the shareholders decide to get the gang up and they take the company over. And these venture capital come in and they pretty much dictate what is going to happen to the company. This is back in the day when pension funds were not really protected. They can seize all the assets of a company. They can go to a bank and take out tons of money in loans, use the company's assets as collateral, not really care about paying back these loans because they were going to just take
all
the money.
They weren't going to be there anyway.
Right, they're going to take all this money and let the company flounder, and they will lay off everybody and basically turn that company into a shell of its former self. And they did this repeatedly.
Now, Obama did have a response to this, specifically having to do with what Bain Capital was for and... How that relates to how Romney would be running the country. Of course, I have to actually turn the audio on first.
Create new jobs or new industries.
Okay, here we go.
But understand that their priority is to maximize profits. And that's not always going to be good for communities or businesses or workers.
Now, just as a pause there, we've discussed this before, where... on the one hand, Republicans and conservatives say, you know, businesses don't need regulations because they'll do what's best for their communities. But then on 2 seconds later, they'll finish taking a breath and go, but you can't expect them to do what's best for communities because their real function is to make money.
Right.
So it's like an absolute complete contradiction to each other. But for some reason, you can't. They'll argue one, and they'll argue the other, but they'll never the twain shall meet.
I think they suspect that businesses will always do what's in their own best interests. Period. And
well, I think that's obvious.
And that means that they're not going to do anything "quote unquote" unlawful because it would hurt them financially. It would hurt their business.
No, I don't think so. Because
I don't think so either.
They don't care about that because they don't think the laws are just anyway. They don't think there should be laws, so if they break them in the process, the pursuit of making money, that's fine with them.
Well, they suspect that a lot of laws are there to tie their hands, and that, you know, unfettered access to capital, unfettered laws, you know, a Wild West mentality works best because it gives them the maximum leverage to do whatever the hell they want, and they can maximize profits.
I think you're making the assumption that they're being honest, and I don't agree. I don't think they're being honest about it at all. I think the Republicans know full well that when you allow these companies to just do anything they want, they do bad things. There's plenty of
evidence. Well, Republicans, yes. Conservatives, not so much.
I think the people making the decisions, the
car libertarians,
I think. Oh, no. They definitely know. I'm talking about just the rank and file schmuck. You know, like
the rank and file schmucks, they're monarchists and they just see the blue or blood. That's what it's all about.
But they'll literally argue both things at the same time. It's like, well, you can't expect corporations to do what's good for the community because they have to make money. But then they'll turn around and say, but corporations won't do anything bad to their community.
Right. And it doesn't make any sense.
And they can't seem to connect the two, and you can't actually get them to connect the two in a conversation because they'll just go off on tangents because they don't want
to
discuss it.
They're good people. They wouldn't do anything bad, but they're supposed to do anything they possibly can to make money.
Yeah, but it's human nature, though, when you think about it. If you have freedom to do whatever the hell you want, especially when it comes to making money, if you can cheat investors, if you can screw workers, if you can, you know, harm the environment, all to make the maximum amount of money.
I don't think
you're going to do it because
not everyone's like that.
Granted, not everyone's like that.
But capitalism.
But a lot of these guys have no qualms about hurting people if they can make money in the end. And even if you do get caught,
the religion,
you might pay a fine. Yeah, you know, people might say, "Oh, what a jackass that guy is."
The religion.
But at the end of the day, he's walking away with tons of money.
The religion of the market is very specific that you are supposed to do anything you possibly can to do the best you possibly can to make money for the stockholders. You are told, you know, at the corporate level, that you aren't supposed to think about all those other things. You are only supposed to think about what makes money for the stockholders. That's why I've always said you need to go after the stockholders. When a company does something bad, you have to sue the company. And who owns the company? Look, if you own the company when it makes profit, you have to own the company when it does something wrong and it gets punished for it. And once you start punishing the stockholders, once you start taking money from the stockholders to repay when a company pollutes or does something wrong or swindles somebody, once you take money from the stockholders, then the stockholders are going to say, hey, you're supposed to make money from me.
They should go after the guys who are running the show.
No.
Whatever bonuses they're getting, whatever golden parachutes they're getting, I'm sorry, they should go right after
that
first and foremost.
Again, you have to listen to what I'm saying. If you own the company when it makes profit, you have to own the company when it loses money or when it does something wrong, when it commits a crime. You have to own the company then, because if you don't, then the religion of you have to do whatever you possibly can for the stockholders will never come back to the stockholders. You'll never have any responsibility to do the right thing. If you punish the stockholders, then the most important thing is the large mutual funds and the state pension funds and people like that. Companies that are doing the wrong thing, they're going to start to get a negative rating. And those organizations are going to stop buying the stock because they don't want to be punished. Right now, when you tell them you will not be punished, they are encouraging those companies. The money is encouraging those companies to do bad things and to break the law because there is no punishment for it.
And punishing just the CEO doesn't do anything because they'll just find another CEO who will do the same thing.
If you crucify that guy, they'll make the next guy think twice about screwing
him. No, it won't. They won't care. They'll just be more creative in covering it up.
Do you own the company or not? If you own the company, then you have to own. Then you have to own the crime.
All right, moving on back to Obama. It was like 3 minutes ago.
And the reason this is relevant to the campaign is because my opponent, Governor Romney, his main calling card for why he thinks he should be president is his business experience. Yeah, he's not going out there touting his experience in Massachusetts.
God forbid, he says. Yes, Romney Care was good. It did good for the state.
Well, he was talking about his job creation, which was abysmal in Massachusetts.
This is the one part of Obama's response I liked. When he said that.
I'm a business guy, and I know how to fix it, and this is his business. And when you're president, as opposed to the head of a private equity firm, then your job is not simply to maximize profits. Your job is to figure out how everybody in the country has a fair shot. Your job is to think about those workers who get laid off and how are we paying for their retraining. Your job is to think about how those communities can start creating new clusters so that they can attract new businesses. Your job as president is to think about how do we set up an equitable tax system so that everybody's paying their fair share. That allows us then to invest in science and technology and infrastructure, all of which are going to help us grow. And so if your main argument for how to grow the economy is, I knew how to make a lot of money for investors, then you're missing what this job is about. It doesn't mean you weren't good at private equity, but that's not what my job is as president. My job is to take into account everybody, not just some.
Now, for me,
very good speech, by the way. Yeah. I think it was a very good answer.
Considering it was off the cuff, and he didn't have a teleprompter.
No, but I mean,
I can't wait for Romney to get out on the trail, like really get on the trail and start making speeches, because he can't use a teleprompter. And every time he uses a teleprompter, the first words out of everyone's mouth should be, hey, why are you using a teleprompter?
But sadly, the media won't do that. That's the problem with the media. The media will pretend the conservatives haven't been saying that the whole time. The media no longer sees its role as to point out obvious hypocrisy, which is a shame. When we were kids, media always pointed out obvious hypocrisy. Now, they don't.
But they haven't quite given up on the whole, ooh, you use a teleprompter, the right, specifically I'm talking about, hasn't quite given up on that attack. Like, as of last month, they were still talking about the fact he uses teleprompters, which I think is hilarious.
It's kind of a foolish thing to say, because every president, with the exception, by the way, of George W. Bush, because he used to get confused with the teleprompter. He had a hard time following it, so they had to have cards. He used like index cards, like David Letterman or any of these, like, or Jimmy Fallon.
Well, they all use cue cards,
right?
I'll tell you what. I've read off of a teleprompter a couple times. Not the fancy schmancy see through.
Right.
I haven't read off one of those, but I can't imagine it's that much different. But I've read the ones that are like in front of the in front of the camera,
right?
And it's a little awkward. It's not
especially if they're not timing it right and they're slow, a little fast. You know.
It's not a natural skill. It's definitely an acquired skill. But of course, if you're a seasoned politician, that's part of your job description.
I thought it was great when Rubio got caught. You know, he lost a page in his speech,
and he couldn't ad lib to save himself.
But after Rubio constantly talking about Obama with the teleprompter over and over again, Rubio constantly making the point about Obama with teleprompters. And then he lost a page of his own speech. And, of course, Rubio's not going to come out and say, oh, I'm sorry, Mr. President, you know, you were right and I was wrong.
No, heaven forbid.
The whole thing about the teleprompter controversy is that they're trying to portray him as stupid.
Well, it's because he's stupid. Yeah, he's stupid because he's black. That
is the subtext behind all that.
I don't think they're trying to portray him as stupid.
They're trying to portray
him as manufactured.
If you look
at the Republican narrative, they are never saying Obama's stupid. They're saying he's too smart. And they don't like the fact that he's smart. He spent too much time.
My interpretation is that he's too stupid and he's too smart.
Right.
Yeah.
Consistency is not a strong point.
No. But he uses teleprompter because he's not smart enough, and he's not qualified.
Yeah. It's like without a teleprompter, he can't talk at all.
Just below the surface. They really want to say, come on, we all know he's president because he's black. I mean, I think that's the underlying.
Everybody's going to think I'm just being insulting when I say this, but honestly, it's true. Look at the conservative blogs. Look at everything the conservatives do. Stupid is never a negative thing for them. They do not ever complain about stupid. Stupid's not bad. They like stupid. They think stupid is, you know, that's the average heartland American. That's good. It's being educated that makes you a bad person.
But it's a specific thing having to do with black people.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah, a stupid white person is fine. Black person is typical.
By the way, Chris Matthews did that today. The minute he talks about Cory Booker, he talks about him being educated. I never hear anybody white being discussed, you know, oh, you know, that Barbara Boxer, she's very educated, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And well-spoken.
And well-spoken.
Well-spoken. Articulate. That's the articulate. Yeah. Articulate and well-spoken. It's like, yes, because black people have very much difficulty with that.
But let me, go back to your speech, though. Like, I think, not for nothing, Obama turned, you know, lemons into lemonade today. I think, not for nothing, he could have easily been very defensive. I think he put the screws around me a little bit.
He put a proper spin on it.
He did. I think you say, listen, you know, the job of the president is not to be a hedge fund manager. It's to care for all Americans, not just the very wealthy. And I think it was a good spin. I think he honestly turned what could have been a very distracting story. And I think by tomorrow we probably won't be talking about this.
All right. Last thing on this, and we got to move on. Okay. Is my particular part that I like the most is the very last part. Is that my job is to take into account everybody, not just some. And that's a huge difference between Republicans and Democrats.
Right.
Even though the Democrats, you know they're not going, Glenn hates this, but the Democrats are not going to get, like, you know, the conservative vote for anything, but they still try to, govern for the whole country. Republicans only govern for their base.
Right.
They absolutely only govern for the base, whereas the Democrats and liberals in general, they govern for everybody. They don't just leave half the country out in the cold because, you know, well, you didn't vote for me, so I don't give a crap about you.
They have their preferences to it, to be fair.
Preferences, but their preferences don't negatively target entire swaths of the country.
That's true.
You know, the Republicans will govern specifically to punish the people who don't vote for them in favor of the people.
Has more to do with trying to govern for the benefit of their supporters.
Well, that's what
the donors, I should say, only
focus on their market segment.
Their donors first, then their supporters, and then the country.
There are three things I wanted to say about this issue before we leave it. One is Cory Booker broke Glenn Dewar's first rule of politics. Glenn Dewar's first rule of politics: never run the ball for the other team. They have their own players. Do not kick the ball. Murphy said earlier, he kicked the ball into his own goal. And that's, you don't do that. You never run the ball for the other team.
You know, mistakes, like in soccer,
Democrats make all the time.
Like in soccer, when you
second thing,
the ball. All right, never mind.
Okay, the two problems I have with the Obama response. One is, you know, stop defending private equity. You have to talk about what are the things that are bad about private equity. If you're going to go out in the commercials and talk about it, then when they ask you and you're standing on the stage and you're answering questions, you have to be able to say, no, sometimes there are bad things about capitalism. Democrats are falling all over themselves because they don't want to be defined as communists. And, you know, what happens is, you know, Newt Gingrich is not afraid to say vulture capitalism, but Cory Booker and Barack Obama are. And it's a shame. You know, it sounded like an incoherent message that you attacked private equity in the commercial, and then you can't say, look, there are bad things about making money destroying a company. The thing that drove me the craziest about the whole thing was when they asked Obama point blank, do you hold Mitt Romney personally responsible for the loss of these jobs? And he hedges. Look, if you can't say, yes, I do, and you have to say those three words first, yes, I do hold him personally responsible, yes, I do. If you can't say that, don't run the campaign ad to begin with. You don't take out a gun unless you're going to use it. If you're afraid of your own message, have a super PAC do it. That's what the Republicans do.
Yeah.
If you're going to run your own ad and somebody asks you, do you hold him personally responsible? You have to say yes. Otherwise, you make your own ads look ridiculous. Okay, I'm done.
All right, take a breath. Go.
Focus. It's a good point about Santorum and Gingrich. They both made the same exact charges.
They're not afraid to say vulture capitalism.
Exactly.
They're not afraid they're going to be branded as communists.
Well, it's because then everyone's going
to
forget
it. They took some heat. To be fair, they took some heat for it, but not as much as Obama will.
All right. We're moving on now to the well, it's not necessarily a new tactic. I don't even know if I call it a tactic, really. But where the GOP turns around and blames everything that the GOP does wrong is now Obama's fault. Everything they do, the war on women that, you know, they've been waging since forever and ever, but they really ramped it up in the last year, that's Obama's fault. The fact that the right, they just got caught getting the documents got released, and whatever, the 20, 30, 40-page document of their entire strategy, how they're going to bring back Reverend Wright, and they're going to run the commercials that John McCain wouldn't let them run, and it was backed by that billionaire.
Well, that's Obama's fault. They walked away from it in light of what happened. They got exposed, and now they're like...
Right, but now they're blaming it on Obama. Right. It's Obama's fault that they were going to talk about...
fault?
Right. This is
did he write the damn thing? No.
Reince Priebus. I can't pronounce his name without rolling it now.
Yeah, I know.
Every time I see it on Rachel Maddow, I can only say his first name that way now. It's very irritating. But
I think it's hilarious.
Yeah, Reince Priebus is he's the head of the Republican National Committee. He took Michael Steele's job, and basically because no one liked him. But his entire job is to get Republicans elected all over the country. So every time. Now that, and it's not just him, but it's like every time they screw up something, it's Obama's fault. The war, the contraception thing was Obama's fault. The whole slut and
Limbaugh.
No, Rush Limbaugh and
Sandra Fluke.
I can't believe I forgot her name. That's Obama's fault. It's always Obama's fault. Every time they come up with these attacks,
and he put words in Limbaugh's mouth. I mean, come on.
I don't get it.
I think what you're missing here is the key word that they've been using is politicizing. They say everything. Democrats are politicizing this and politicizing that. And what the Democrats have to come back and say is, look, every time we point out that there's a difference between you and us, and it makes you look bad, you say we're politicizing something. Yeah, well, the whole point of politics. The whole point of electing one person versus another is to figure out what makes those two people different and why you would vote for one versus the other. Yes, you are different, and yes, it makes you look bad because you're different in a bad way that the American people don't like. Maybe you should change that about yourself and stop complaining that we point out that you're bad.
Well, see, that's the thing I don't understand. I mean, they've passed hundreds of laws all over the country against abortion. I mean, this has been nonstop, and it's not
even laws that were already on the books. They double banned it,
right? And that's, triple banned it. They did the same thing with same sex marriage,
right?
And this was not an issue for the Democrats until this year, it was mostly this year. I mean, they really weren't talking about a lot. It was, they were working their way through it in various states, but it certainly wasn't being discussed on a federal level. But they couldn't stop. The Republicans could not stop. They just kept. Same-sex marriage, homosexual this, homosexual agenda. Blah, blah, blah.
And they didn't campaign on a lot of
it. Yeah, and they couldn't
stop it.
It was
all about job growth, and they just dropped the ball on job growth, and they spoke.
Yeah, it's like they just socialism.
Well, then you have to go back to the Franken Rape Amendment, which I think the Democrats would have won the 2010 election if they made campaign commercials about that, and of course they didn't.
I mean, you talk about Virginia, the forced ultrasound, the vaginal...
No. I'm talking about... 30 American senators who are Republicans saying that it's okay to do business with companies that say that if you're raped on the job, you can't go to court and you have to go
to an arbiter
hired by the company.
Like Halliburton did that. Yeah, exactly.
And 30 out of 40 Republican senators said rape is A-okay. We want to do business with that company. You hold your employee in a shipping container after they've been raped and treat them as if they're guilty in a foreign country? That's great. We want to do business with you. How Democrats didn't politicize that is why we lost the 2010 election. Congratulations, Democrats.
For those who don't know what I'm talking about, there was an incident where a woman was raped by someone working for KBR, which is...
Someone's.
Oh, there was multiple. There were multiple rapists.
Well, one specific.
One person in particular, but there was a number of people who raped a woman who was an employee of Halliburton, but she signed a contract. This incident occurred in Iraq. And basically what had happened was that she pressed charges, but because she signed this contract with Halliburton, she didn't really have any case to go to a court, and they decided to go to an arbiter. The arbiter is hired by Halliburton, which held Halliburton blameless in the case, and basically they told this lady, hey, that's your tough luck.
The fact that Murphy felt he had to explain that to you is exactly what's wrong with the Democratic Party.
Well, not everyone listening, Glenn, might be
if the Democratic Party was functioning,
they should have made a bigger deal about it.
You should not have been able to live in this country in 2010 without knowing that.
No.
He had to explain it is proof that the Democratic Party is broken.
I don't think they understood exactly what kind of resistance they were getting. Although they should have had a decent idea at that point. But still,
you can't assume everyone listening knows what you're talking about.
I know, but still, moving on.
I'm saying it's the Democratic Party's job to make sure you knew about it. That there should have been commercials all over television. You should have known more about that rape amendment than you should have known about whether or not this idiot got fired from 2.5 Men.
Winning.
Anyway. So yes, this seems to be the new this. I mean, this projection and this isn't even projection. Projection is when it's like I hate black people, and I want to make it seem like you hate black people, so no one looks at me hating black people instead. That's projection. That's what the Republican Party and conservatives live off of. This goes past that, though. I mean, they pass all these laws against gay marriage. They pass all these laws demonizing minorities. They pass all these laws.
Contraception.
Contraception right. against women's health. Which is and then comment. They turn around and blame it all. Say it's like, well, Obama made us do that. And it's just like, how? And they can never explain it. It's like, well, they politicize it.
They can't explain it. They're the ones bringing it up. It's like, we're talking, I bring up this topic. No, and then I blame you for mentioning the subject.
Right. What they're saying is, we did that, but you're wrong for bringing it up.
Yeah, don't discuss it. We don't want to discuss it, even though we're doing it. It's like, well,
tough we don't want the American people to know our record.
They brought the subject up.
Well, so that's the GOP in a nutshell. Completely insane. And speaking of completely insane, there's a pastor that what's this guy's name again? Whorley. Pastor Whorley. You know, I can't refer to him as a pastor. I just can't. I can't refer to him as a pastor.
You know the full name?
Let's see. Pastor. I don't know. Can I just call him Dumbass? Dumbass sounds good. Charles L. Whorley of Providence Road Baptist Church. He's in North Carolina, and this was during the whole thing about Amendment 1. In Amendment 1, double banned gay marriage because it was already illegal in North Carolina. So they went ahead and double banned it because, you know, it wasn't banned enough. And, you know, as Rachel Maddow
said... They want to put it in the Constitution.
Well, as Rachel Maddow said, they didn't have anything else pressing to work to deal with. So, they, you know, they had all the time in the world to focus on that. No, don't worry about jobs
or anything. I'm a little surprised they didn't save it for the fall. Normally, they save it for the general to try to, you know, gin up the conservative base. I thought that was one of the things they do. Like, oh, wait a minute, let's save this for the fall when, you know, Republicans could really benefit. Rather than the middle of the year where it's just that one item, you know, I'm surprised.
Well, apparently there's been a spat of preachers and pastors and fathers and blah, blah, blah down in North Carolina who are giving some rather politicized and rather nasty sermons. And this was Mr. Whorley. And this was his solution. He came up with this great idea how to take care of the gay menace. So,
dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. There's a storm coming.
It's a gay storm.
And I'm afraid. That's great. The best line. And I'm afraid.
All right, here we go. Here's Mr. Whorley.
I figured a way out, a way to get rid of all the lesbians and queers, but I couldn't get it past the Congress. Build a great, big, large fence, 150 or 100 mile long, put all the lesbians in there, fly over and drop some food. Do the same thing with the queers and the homosexuals.
Okay, wait.
And homosexuals?
And have that fence electrified. Speaking of,
hold on a second.
And you know what? In a few years, they'll die out.
What's the difference between a queer? All right, Glenn Dewar, the Fat Smug Bassett, is a homosexual. He's also a Catholic, which I find endlessly amusing.
Well, I'm also a queer, I think.
What's the difference between a queer and a homosexual?
I think that he thinks the difference between a queer and a homosexual.
Just so we know, I'm sorry. As I was saying, I'm sorry. Glenn's homosexual. I'm straight. Murphy is asexual.
Yeah.
He buds. So.
Now, for the record, I am straight too.
Yes, and he still buds. But that's why there's two Mike Murphys, and the other one's his evil twin, and he's a conservative.
Well, that's because he's from the parallel universe.
Exactly. But, so, I'm sorry. Please.
I think the queers are the ones with purple mohawks. Clearly, and the homosexuals are the ones. The homosexuals are the ones in suits who got caught in the restroom stall, and who have admitted it, and they didn't get saved by Jesus afterwards.
That's probably true, by the way. They look at the queers as the really out and proud ones. You know, the ones with the assless chaps and, you know, the nipple piercings and all that. Whereas the homosexuals are the proper people who get caught off because they're confused. You know.
That is so...
The Ted Haggards of the world are homosexuals.
Oh, my God. That is so sad. All right, so let's get back to Pastor Crazy Pants here.
All right.
Do you know why they can't reproduce?
They can have sex with one another, no?
If a man ever... No,
they're separated. They're separated.
Praise God, he'll be the first.
That's why they keep them in two separate groups.
Two separate pens.
Yes.
Isn't this well, amen? I'm going to preach the hell out of all of them. Amen. Hey, I tell you right now, Somebody said, who you going to vote for? I ain't going to vote for a baby killer and a homosexual lover.
And it's just more crazy ranting after that. So, you know, I found that quite amazing because, you know, he's supposed to be a man of God. And his idea of how to take care of something he doesn't like is
concentration camps. Well played.
Yeah, it's like, that's usually not the first thing I go to when I'm thinking about it. It's like, well, I have a problem. What role model do I want to follow to take care of the... Hitler. Yes! That's it. You know, that's not where my mind generally goes. It's just, I don't know. I'm just not sure, you know.
This guy might be, this might just be like fantasy real. I don't think this guy is totally serious. I think there's something that, you know, you...
They even fantasize it, though. And it's
yeah,
still,
it's crazy.
In my, you know, it's like, you know, man, this guy really pissed me off. I hate that guy. What? I'm going to burn him alive in an oven. You know, it's just, or gas him, or, these are not the things my mind tends to go towards.
Oh, it's definitely sinister. I mean, this guy is a real jackass. I mean, a man of God suggesting that we should, like, you know, forcibly lock people away in a camp because, you know, they don't like them. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, and of course, the question is, it's like, okay, they can't have any more kids, but there's nothing that gay people don't...
Like they don't have families, they don't have, you know...
No, never mind that. Neighbors, like, let's say you have...
I would object to such a thing, my God, you know. Oh, sure, of course, let's shove off the gays.
Well, they don't know the greatest secret of gay people.
Wait, before you get to that, before you get to the greatest secret... You have to keep in mind that he specifically says keep the gays and the lesbians, the male homosexuals and the lesbians separated, you know, because if you leave them together, they might breed, which, of course, would make them not necessarily homosexual or lesbian.
No, but
they could have a breeding program to propagate the species.
Situation.
They could use a turkey baster.
They could use, well, you know, that's allowed, assuming they're allowed to have those. Yeah. He didn't say anything about amenities. As far as he's concerned, they could just be free-roaming gays. They could be free-range homosexuals.
Gays for gays.
Don't ask.
Edit that out later.
Anyway.
hold for editing and...
So, okay. So now, here we have Glenn. The Fat Smoke Mass is about to release, for the first time ever, for all our conservative listeners, the greatest secret of homosexuality.
You know how we reproduce? You make more of us. Straight people
make
us.
It's all your fault, straight America.
Straight people have sex and make us.
Congratulations, America. You're fucked up again.
No. I think you just changed the entire conversation.
My dad was a vagina hound.
You sure? I thought gay people just reproduced asexually like Murphy does.
Nope.
I divide. I cut in half and then I grow again.
Oh God, it's so pathetic. Anyway, speaking of bigotry, there's a new fun thing going around. Well, it's not really new because Michelle Bachmann started this last year at some point. And Haley Barbour started it. Was going on. There's this whole movement of revisionist history, including David Barton, who's like a big right wing historian.
But Republicans aren't racist.
Republicans aren't racist, but if they were, it wouldn't matter because black people didn't mind anyway. Really, is what it comes down to. This is their revisionist history. It wasn't so bad for black people, and if it was, they preferred it.
What's funny, by the way, is when you talk to the average conservative long enough. If you ask them enough questions about the Civil War, not only will they come up with the false thing that it wasn't really about slavery. By the way, the Civil War was completely about slavery.
No, it was about states' rights.
Yeah,
states' rights.
Read the Confederate Constitution and the Cornerstone Speech.
No, states' rights.
It was about slavery.
States' rights.
But
states' rights.
But you know states the funny thing face. Is,
damn it,
the weakness of my conservative argument. Will start to tell you that slaves took up arms and fought for the Confederacy and all these other things.
There was a handful of crazy situations where some blacks actually did were friends with Confederates and they were actually literally like was one case in hand.
Well, I'll chalk it up to you: the Stockholm Syndrome or. They were badly misinformed about what it was they were fighting for.
The real thing you need to pay attention to here is conservatives really want to defend slavery.
Yes, that's true.
And they really want to defend Jim Crow. They deeply, deeply want to defend it, but they know that if they say it out loud, they know it gets them in trouble. But if you talk to them long enough, you will get them to say these things.
Well, apparently this is the case for John Derbyshire, who wrote for the National Review up until a couple of weeks ago. And he'd been fired for writing, like, he wrote the white version of The Talk. Did you read this at all? Either one of you?
I'm not sure.
Okay. African-American family parents have to have a particular talk with their children.
Oh, wait, I think I heard this one.
Yeah, okay. They have to have a talk with their children. And I understand it completely, because, you know...
How not to get killed by cops.
Yeah, how not to get... You know, if a cop is yelling at you, you put your hands up. You do not argue.
Don't fight. Yeah, right.
You know, you don't... You know, if you're walking in a nice neighborhood...
Especially if you're carrying Skittles.
And a nice tea. Nice tea. You know, these are the type of things that African-American parents have to tell their children in order to keep them from getting murdered by cops. And psychopaths in Florida with guns.
I only heard about this recently, by the way.
Well, it only happened recently. So, I hadn't heard particularly about that that talk that the parents have to have, but it really doesn't surprise me in the slightest. So John Derbyshire decided he was offended by this, although I don't think he put it that way, and he wrote the white version of that.
Okay. The National Review article.
It wasn't printed in the
National Review. Dance naked in front of cops, druggingly as much
no,
as
it was
want,
like,
they
it was
touch
like,
you?
If avoid crowds of black people that aren't known to you personally.
Yes.
If you're going to be at a concert, make sure if you see a lot of black people at the concert,
you leave. Right.
If you're going to go to something like Disneyland, find out if that's a weekend where there's going to be a lot of black people and don't go.
Wow. Because white people are getting assaulted at Disney a lot.
Yeah, exactly. And that, it was astoundingly racist. So the National Review, and he posted it on another website, but you know, he's an author for National Review. National Review said, no, you can't do that. And honestly, it's not because what he said was racist. It's because that's what they believe, but they can't say it out loud.
Right.
He broke the code. He broke the Southern Strategy Code. You can't actually say it.
I think they were trying to pass it as quote-unquote humor, like dark humor.
No!
But it really wasn't.
He wasn't passing it off as humor. He was dead serious.
This guy was serious as a heart attack.
You know, so they fired him. And after that, he decided, I'm free from the constraints of the right wing, which is pandering to, you know, and he actually said something to that effect. It's like, the right is pandering to avoid being labeled as racist. But it's not racism, because in his second article, or his first article after he was newly freed from having to actually be a nice person, or civilized, he flat out said that white supremacy was one of the best political systems ever come up with. Because white people are inherently better at taking care of things. Lovely. And he got ripped for that one. So he got pissed off about that, and he responded. And then the second one, and that's the one I read and wrote about, was that he was right to say white supremacy is good, because, you know, American slaves, when they had the opportunity to, after they were free, preferred slavery to freedom. Actually, I'm sorry, they preferred white supremacy to self-determination.
Right. Because slavery had ended, obviously.
At that point, slavery was over, but they had a choice, and they chose white supremacy.
Well, you know, of course they were choosing to stay in the United States as opposed to living...
You're talking about people overseas. Who've been enslaved and weren't allowed to read,
for hundreds of years.
Be educated, and the only thing they know is to stay where they know. You know, you tell them that they're going to be sent to a foreign country they don't know anything about. Obviously, they're going to try and stay where they think they might be safe.
Right.
Right, and
speak the language, by the way, you know.
Like, that too, and what I said was, and I specifically what I wrote was, to help him sort out what the problem with his argument was, I presented Derbyshire with a choice, and his choices were, A, you can stay here in America as white people become a minority, people like yourself who have made a career of being a racist scumbag will be treated like pariahs. You will find yourself ostracized, job offers will be non-existent, and you will always be afraid someone with brown skin will attack you, rob your house, or ship you off to a concentration camp for Caucasians. This won't actually happen, but frightened idiots like yourself will believe it will. You will grow old in misery and self-inflicted fear, and history will judge you quite harshly. Or, B, you can go to Bulgaria.
There's white people in Bulgaria.
There are. There are white people in Bulgaria. It's European. So it's Eastern European, but it's still European. You know, that's where we all came from in the first place. So he shouldn't have any problem going back there and avoid all this terrible future that conservatives are afraid of.
Well, I mean, again, the nightmare scenario that he's envisioning is not going to happen.
He doesn't know that as far as he's concerned. That's what's going to happen. The country's going to become more brown, and he's going to be miserable. So therefore, move to Bulgaria.
Move to some white country.
Go to a white country. And of course, you know... He's not going to. He's not going to uproot and move. He won't even move to Canada. Why would he want to leave?
I think it was like this week or the week before it, there was an article. There are more people and minorities being born in the United States for the first time in history than white people.
Yes, and I want to get to that in a second.
I think it's things like that that I just...
It's not black people. It's Hispanic growth.
It just says minorities. Yeah. It doesn't specify. Yeah.
What I want to do is, you know how they had all the reaction videos to Two Girls, One Cup?
Yes.
Sorry.
If you don't know what Two Girls, One Cup is, do not look it up.
Do not Google it.
Don't Google it.
I want to do that, but with Republicans and show them that article because it would be so
have
much
them
fun.
Read it and they look on their faces.
That's hilarious.
It would be so much fun to see how they react to that.
Too bad I don't know. I still know Lou. I should have Lou read that.
Film it.
Turn on the camera and film it while he's reading it, just so he won't know I'm recording it.
We should go
record
into
the silent.
We should go into Manhattan and ask.
Silent tear and go down his face.
No. You know, remember the old commercials with the Native American? They show them one of America's
Native white guy in reverse. like black people at a restaurant. Hispanics, at the beach.
Oh.
They look upon it. Tear.
My country.
I would just have so much fun. We should do that. We should take a video camera and go into Manhattan and just ask people what party you're voting for and then show them the article.
That'd be the best PSA ever, by the way.
Oh man, that's a good idea.
It'd be fun to see their reactions.
So anyway, speaking of absolute racism, and I'm still trying to find that one real the silver bullet where I can finally just look at conservatives and say, stop denying it. You guys are so drenched in fucking racism that it's unavoidable. And I'm still not there, but I'm getting closer. I'll find it eventually. This particular, what was it, today or yesterday, in reference to the New York Times article about more than 50% of new births being minorities, was the Eagle Forum. And Phyllis Schlafly.
By the way, evidence of how
Schlafly would
gay people come from straight people. Her son is gay.
Now, who's Phyllis Schlafly? I can never pronounce this one.
Yeah,
with name.
Schlafly is funny.
Schlafly. Well, whatever. Phyllis.
She is the one who, in reaction to the possibility of an equal rights amendment, actually went
back in the
70s. Took a whole bunch of women. They all dressed in red, and they baked cookies for legislators. Saying, please, please, please don't make us equal to men.
She was a Sarah Palin of her day.
She defeated the Equal Rights Amendment.
She was a Sarah Palin, Michelle Bachmann, and Coulter of her day, but with a brain. You can say a lot of things about it. Stupid is not one of them. Okay? Completely crazy, anti-feminist.
Anti-feminist,
and certainly. And all the rest that goes along with that, but she was not stupid. Well, Ann Coulter's not stupid. She's intentionally nasty.
She's surprisingly ill-informed, by the way, Ann Coulter.
I don't think she's ill-informed. I think she's deliberate because she just wants to stir.
There are times where people have asked her questions and she said, "Well, I don't have any opinion on that," and she just doesn't. So, for example, she was on Lou Dobbs years ago. Lou Dobbs, of course, going on about the Mexicans. Oh, but the Mexicans.
Oh, those goddamn Mexicans.
Ann Coulter didn't have a response. I know that's one of your pet causes, but I really don't have an opinion on that. And I was like, wow, okay.
That's not necessarily her forte.
Yeah, exactly.
She can't give massive controversial statements without having something to go with it. She's probably not going to say anything at all because her whole job is to make a splash.
Okay, I guess you're right.
But so Phyllis, dear.
By the way, the list of conservatives like Phyllis Schlafly that have homosexual children is in fact evidence that there is a God.
That's funny. Divine evidence
that there is a God.
It's like, yes.
And a lot of Republicans too have gay kids or gay relatives. It's like, wow, good for you. That's this God, mocking you.
It's like, ha ha. So anyway, she came out and, I don't think she did it public, not public, I'm sorry. I don't think she did it on camera or anything. But she had an article on her Eagle Forum. Now, the Eagle Forum is, it's been around for decades. And it's very.
I think it was birthed by the anti-ERA movement.
I can imagine. It's very much integrated into the conservative movement. It's a mover behind the scenes without actually being a very public portion of it.
They were part of the whole movement that trashed George H.W. Bush and got Reagan elected in 80.
Yeah, so they've been around for a long time, and they have a significant amount of influence. I mean, not for nothing, Alec's been around for, like, what, 40 years?
40 years. Well, 39, yeah.
Yeah, no one knew about it until last year. Well, no one started hearing about it.
Trayvon Martin case really brought the...
No, it was before that. They started... I heard about it long before Trayvon Martin. That just brought it to, like, really... Now they really had something to say. This was you guys. You were involved in this.
Right. Well, they
were
behind lots of conservative legislation.
Right. But, I mean, they've been operating for decades, and no one really knew who they were.
Right.
The Eagle Forum, similar. Mm-hmm. You know, they exerted an enormous amount of pressure, but no one really knows who they are. It's kind of like Grover Norquist. No one knew who the hell he was until the whole tax pledge thing really started coming up. Right. You know, the only Grover I knew was Blue.
Yeah, right.
And
right.
Furry with a big red
Grover
nose.
Cleveland, you know, that's it.
Who? No. But, you know, she you know, they put up a response to this that it was like, let's see, it is not a good thing that more than half the, you know, births being minorities. The immigrants do not share American values, so it is a good bet they will not be voting Republican when they start voting in large numbers. Now, so obviously in this context, American values mean...
Equals Republican, yeah.
Yeah,
you can't be a good American unless you're voting Republican.
Yeah, equals pure racism. I mean, the reason the Hispanics don't vote Republican is because Republicans constantly demonize them.
Well, that's not true either.
No,
there are some conservative Hispanics out there.
Well, of course.
They're not minority.
They're all Cuban.
They're all Cuban, of course.
They're all formerly wealthy Cubans who believe that someday
Fidel
Castro will be cast out of Cuba and everybody's going to fall over themselves to give them back their
property. There's a very small minority, you're right. That even among non-Cubans, believe it or not, there are some. But it's mostly
the Cubans.
Cuban phenomenon, right?
So further, the New York Times liberals, because, you know, New York Times is liberal, seek to destroy the American family of the 1950s. God damn it. Symbolized by Ozzie and Harriet. The TV characters were happy, self-sufficient, autonomous, law-abiding, honorable, patriotic, hardworking, and otherwise embodied qualities that made America great. In other words, the show promoted values that the New York Times liberals despise. Instead, the USA is being transformed by immigrants who do not share these values and who have high rates of illiteracy, illegitimacy, and gang crime, and they will vote Democrat when the Democrats promise them more food stamps, because obviously only dirty Hispanics use
food stamps. Did it ever occur to her that maybe they're coming here because they want to be like Americans?
Well, no. The thing that kills me about this is, A, immigrants can't vote until they jump through a whole bunch of hoops to get their citizenship.
Right.
So the fact that they had to go through that much effort to get the citizenship arguably makes them more American than most Americans. Very few people I know could pass an immigration test. Some of those questions are brutal.
Really?
It was 100 questions.
I've seen them.
I mean,
I was able to pass them relatively easily.
You know a little bit more.
Yeah, you're a little bit smarter than the average.
I guess so. No, but a lot of it is basic stuff, man. Like how many states are there? I mean, you know,
you don't talk to many people, do you?
Yeah, seriously.
Wow, really?
Come back. Oh, good Lord. I mean, just from the conversation I have online alone, it's just like, wow, could you be any more profoundly uneducated? You know?
Okay.
And not to knock the people I used to work with. I was doing retail, but I was just like, wow, you guys don't know what that is? And I'm like, no. And I'm like, what's wrong with you? Didn't you graduate high school?
Yeah. You're right, though. I mean, there are people I've come across, you know, who really have no concept. It's like, you know, like they think that, you know, what's it called?
For God's sakes, they think the Civil War was about state rights.
Yeah, but they think the Civil War happened, like, you know, 50 years ago. It was like, no! My God,
I haven't met anyone quite that off the deep end.
No, but there's some Americans, I remember some kind of test.
My granddaddy fought in the Civil War. No, he really
didn't. It was I think it was called ISI. It was an institute that basically tests, like, you know, people's knowledge of civics or, you know, history.
Mm-hmm.
And college students were abysmal. Like there's some colleges, like even Ivy League schools, a lot of these kids only, I think the average score was a 60.
That's what I mean.
Unbelievable. I mean, we're talking about college kids here. We're not talking about someone who learned this 50 years later, they've forgotten a lot of it. We're not talking about recent immigrants. So, I mean, it's shocking how many people don't know shit about literacy, about civics.
So, and then, of course, you know, the fact that their children are born here means they're going through the education system, which means they'll have perfectly normal American values, but they're brown, so they don't count. You know, nice. They're not real Americans because they're not white, heterosexual,
they didn't come off the Mayflower, damn it.
Yeah, exactly. So that's I mean, it's like it doesn't get a whole lot more racist than that. I mean, really, Mitt Romney would have to get elected and start burning crosses on the White House lawn for it to get much more racist before people...
Well, but, you know, sadly, the thing is, the American press has decided that if they point anything out, that's biased. And so they're never going to talk about it. No matter how crazy the Republicans get, things like Eagle Forum publishing this obviously racist thing, no matter how crazy the right wing gets, the current media will not point it out because that's bias.
I'm shocked that Phil Schlafly is still alive and active. My God, she's got to be up there.
She's a lich.
She was a middle-aged lady back then.
Her weight has made her powerful.
When the ERA failed, she was like well into her middle age. My God, that was like 35 years ago? Jesus.
All right. I'm sure she'll just have herself cloned, but not from stem cells, because that's bad.
Well, I hope she doesn't use human reproduction, because that causes gay people.
She would know.
Oh! All right, the last thing we're going to discuss here, and we're going to have to wrap it up, is the Congress has started to float around a bill that would allow the military to start using military-grade propaganda on the United States citizenry. Currently, this is illegal because
of we passed two laws, one back in 48.
The Smith...
Munt. No, I think it was Smith, Bunt, or Munt? Munt. Munt, right. And in 1987, there was another law that reaffirmed that.
I'm sorry, Smith-Munt Act of 1948 and Foreign Relations Authorization Act in 1987. Those basically do not allow the military to lie to us.
Right.
I mean, everyone's seen those... War on the March! Propaganda reels.
Right.
You know, it's like, here we are, we're taking a fight to Jerry, that sort of thing.
Yeah, right.
Where propaganda does have a certain usage, if you have to lie, propaganda doesn't necessarily have to be a lie.
No.
You know, it could be perfectly truthful, but still hyping you up.
We use propaganda quite effectively to sell war bonds. I mean, it's just one of those things that you kind of have to disturb the masses.
Yeah, but the kind of propaganda they're talking about in these laws is literally about lying.
Right, exactly. That's the problem. They want to be able to lie through their teeth. Now, what they're saying is the bill supporters say the informational... This is from BuzzFeed.com, by the way. The bill supporters say the informational material used overseas to influence foreign audiences is, and this is disturbing, too good to not use at home. And that new techniques are needed to help fight Al-Qaeda, a borderless enemy whose own propaganda reaches Americans online. Now, considering the minute amount of Americans that have been influenced by this to actually do something...
They don't even know about it.
Is
you have to seek this out.
Yeah, infinitesimal. This is the same type of argument that is being currently used for voter suppression. You know, out of a country of 360 million people... 300 of them were voter fraud, you know. So therefore, we have to suppress the voting rights of another 60 million.
If that,
you know. So this is the same type of thing. It's
like more people have won Powerball than have been convicted of voter fraud.
I mean, think of it this way: if you watch TV for any amount of time, you know that commercial or the radio or anything else for that matter, even print magazines, anything you see advertising, it's all about selling fear. It sells fear of something. You're too fat. You're too ugly. Your hair's turning gray. You got to do something about that. Otherwise, you're hideous. You don't want to be alone. You have to own this because if you don't, you're not as good as the next person. You know, it tells you what's wrong with you and how to fix it.
Well, that's advertising,
right? But I mean, it's propaganda. buy what we're selling you because otherwise, you're something's wrong with you.
Right.
Now imagine military grade propaganda. You know, it's like, oh, we should be in Iraq because it's good for the country. Mm. Imagine, I mean, we listened to enough of that crap from the president at the time, and it worked.
Well, back in the day, George W. Bush, he used propaganda. Karen something something reporting. It wasn't really a reporter. It was like a public relations lady.
Yeah, and they got in trouble for that, but they didn't, no one went to jail for it. But they got in trouble.
You're talking
for
about
it.
Like when they made up the story about the Iraqi babies, the Kuwaiti babies being tossed out of the incubators?
That came earlier. That was back in 91, I think. That was when a daughter of a Kuwaiti ambassador, I think it was.
Pretended to be a nurse.
Right, and same thing, she witnessed atrocities committed by the Iraqi troops against
And this people. Testimony went before Congress to get us to go to war.
Right.
Yeah, the average American just doesn't know about this kind of stuff.
Yeah, I didn't know about it.
I'm an average American.
But I was talking about what happened later on when George W. Bush was president. Like, he actually had a public relations firm kind of make these packages, fake reporting. And they're all like, yes, but George Bush's education policy gets an A+. I'm Terrence Owens, reporting. You know, and it wasn't really a reporter. It was like some lady.
Right, and that's political crap. And they can get away with that still. The military, on the other hand.
It was packaged, given to news outlets like Fox News and other places. And it was aired.
This surprises you.
It was straight up aired as this was
But they're allowed to do that. They're allowed to do that because they're not the military. That's politics. You can get away with that. You can get away with all sorts of crap in politics. If they ever pass a law that said you can't use propaganda in politics, this country would probably fall apart. It would just like grind to a halt because no one would know who to vote for anymore. Because they can't make commercials without lying through their teeth. But if the military starts, you know, convincing the country that more war in Afghanistan is good for the country, or Al-Qaeda is right around every corner. There's millions of them all over the planet, ready to destroy us in an instant. You know, this
very
is
sinister.
Yeah, this is not healthy for the country. The military getting involved in propaganda is extremely dangerous.
I'm surprised nobody's picked up on, I don't know if it's been in the press, but you know what's really sad about this? The saddest thing about this? Who was really against this idea? Who complained about this idea publicly? Who had their presidential campaign ruined by complaining about this publicly? George Romney. You guys don't remember this?
No.
George Romney went to Vietnam. He went to have the generals tell him what was going on in Vietnam, and he came back and he said they were trying to brainwash us.
Ah.
Oh, that's right. Wow. Yes.
And he was attacked for it.
I forgot about that.
They acted like he was crazy because he said, this is what they're trying to do. They're trying to brainwash us.
Well, it's true that the generals gave a very rosy estimation.
No, they gave him a snow job. They blew smoke up his skirt. Unbelievably
like, oh, yeah, we have them on the run. And meanwhile, they're exaggerating VC casualties and downplaying our own.
He said that what they were doing was far more insidious than just making it look rosy. And you know, it's just it's like what the Republicans did with George W. Bush to George Herbert Walker Bush, where they threw him under the bus. You know, they're doing the same thing. You know, it's like let's take this opportunity that Mitt Romney is the candidate, and let's just make George Romney turn over in his grave. Show no respect for him whatsoever.
No, I don't think they give a shit about George Romney. I mean, but you're right; it's very sinister. You have, you know, like people who felt that that was the time where we need better propaganda.
People blew a hissy fit about the America's Army video game that came out. You know, because it was a free download online for you to download and shoot, you know, brown people almost always. And it was like a recruiting tool, and people were like, oh, it's propaganda, and it was skating the line between the two.
Right.
Now imagine they really went full hog with propaganda.
It does make you wonder like what triggered this legislation? Like what because
the Republicans want to use the military as free campaign.
I guess so.
You know, they say, oh, you know, if we get the military to produce this propaganda, you know, they produce campaign materials for us,
and they have an unlimited budget.
We want to spend more money on the military.
There you go.
I don't know. What they're saying is that the fact that the internet it can propagate propagate information all over the planet like instantly makes it very, very hard for them to really deliver propaganda to their targeted audiences because there's enough information online for people to make up their own minds. God fucking forbid.
In other words, the real information is available for Americans, and so the availability of it to, you know, if somebody foreign wants to find out the truth, all they have to do is go to an American website where the American authorities are not allowed to use
it. Well, really, what this comes down to me is that they want to be able to sell wars and be able to combat war weariness. I mean, that's a huge problem for countries like ours. We get war weary. We get sick of it. Yeah. We don't want our troops out there getting slaughtered anymore.
Yeah.
But if they can propagand it and make propaganda out of it, it's like, oh, you know, it's for the country, it's for God, it's for Jesus, it's for mom, it's for apple pie. You know, like the entire rush up to the Iraq war would have been 1,000 times worse if the military had been able to get involved. Because the military, I mean, not for nothing, you know, the grunts don't like the wars, but, you know, the military contractors certainly do.
Of course.
They love the wars.
Right.
You know, and the upper brass who's involved with that, you know, because they're the ones that are going to quit, they're going to retire, and they're going to go get really cushy jobs in the military and contractors.
Of course,
so it's this nice little feedback loop. It's like we send these guys off to get shot at, we make lots of money, and then when I retire, I make even more money.
Yeah, they're called message force multipliers. Basically, you know, you have generals who who say yes, we should go to war, and then they don't acknowledge the fact they also have ties to
the exactly.
Country. And a lot of these guys are retired. They go on Fox News or other places saying yes, we should go to war. This is a good thing for the country, and without disclosing the fact that they have obviously a conflict of interest.
So yes, that's going to be our future. If they manage to get this through, and God help us if we all do, every time we go see the movie, we're going to get that reel right before right in the middle of the trailers.
Yeah. It's not going to be anywhere near that obvious. They're going to do the same thing they do overseas. They're going to plant. They're going to be paying people off to write fake stories here in America, right. And the people the journalists work for won't know it. There's going to be implants at the New York Times who are going to be skewing the stories just enough not to get caught. And that's what's going to go on. That's what they do in other countries. Like, even in Canada, they do it.
Are you afraid yet? Anyway.
Yeah, that happened.
Oh, God. All right, well, that wraps up this week's show. Sleep tight, yes. This is what I do to people with my sleepy time thought. I tell them something awful and horrible and say, okay, go to sleep now. Because now I've told you, so now I feel better. I got it out of my system, and now you get to choke on it. Thank you. I get curses sometimes. People curse at me.
Do they really?
Yes, I do occasionally get curses.
It's like, sleep.
Mm-hmm. That's my job. My job is to make you not sleep while thinking about things that you don't want to think about. All right, well, this is your host, Filthy Little Scum, signing off, and this is the Fat Smug Bastard.
If you care about that monkey, you'll do what you have to do. Do it!
And I will be taking applications for future co-hosts. and this is the Mike Murphy.
The Mike Murphy.
The Mike Murphy. And we'll see you all next week. Bye.